From the Spec Network, this is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers. I'm Don Felker.
And I'm Kaushik Gopal.
Welcome to the show.
How many times have you wanted to create an application with a map, but you wanted that map to have a custom look to it? And then you kind of went down the route of trying to customize that map and realizing that you'd have to hop through a whole bunch of hoops to get things done. Well, probably more than one if you're like me. Thankfully, there's a company out there to help you, and that's Mapbox. Mapbox is a location data platform that enables developers to build experiences for understanding and exploring our world. In short, Mapbox has an Android SDK that you can plug into your application with just a few lines of code. It'll give you display accurate turn-by-turn driving, walking, or biking navigation, and real-time traffic right there in your Android app. This is huge. The other cool thing that I really like about it is that they offer you complete map design control. So if your application is dark-themed, you can theme it to your dark theme. If it's a light-themed application, you have a light-themed map and so forth. So this is tremendously important and thankfully so much easier to do. They offer a whole bunch of other things, such as location search, which is also known as geocoding and reverse geocoding, retrieving your device location, geospatial analysis, and the list goes on and on and on. So if this sounds like something that's interesting to you, you need a map, definitely check out Mapbox. I recommend that you join thousands of companies and hundreds of thousands of developers who've already integrated Mapbox into their Android project. You can visit mapbox.com/android to get started. Again, that's mapbox.com/android.
In this episode, Kaushik and I sit down and talk with Patrick Nicoletis from Microsoft. Patrick is on the App Center team, and Kaushik and I really wanted to know how the continuous integration product worked on App Center. Patrick was able to answer a phenomenal wide breadth of questions regarding the platform, the depth of the platform, things that we could do with it, how easy it was to set it for Android developers, and all of the different options which App Center offers. So if you're looking for a new build tool, or if you're looking to evaluate other ones, this is the episode for you, and we really hope that you enjoy it. Kaushik, did you ever decide what to do with your whole build system?
Oh my God, Don. Working in startups basically means the only time you have is to work on features. So,
right.
No, not yet. Buddy Build is sunsetting their Android services, as most folks know. But I have been exploring some options, but I haven't completely been convinced yet. But I'm hoping that can change with this episode.
Yes, indeed. So just a couple of episodes ago, you and I sat down to kind of talk about the state of continuous integration, continuous delivery, deployment, all that kind of stuff in regards to the announcement that Buddy Build had. And it was kind of a bummer at the time. And one of the things that we did talk about then was many of the other possible opportunities for developers out there. And one of them was actually Microsoft's apps. And after that episode came out, some of the chit-chatter that happened on Twitter, and I think even on Reddit and a few other places, a lot of people were talking a lot about actually App Center and like all the things that it could do. And so we thought it was probably best to get one of the folks on here who helped kind of develop App Center to see if, you know, what features it has, answer all the questions that we might have to see if it would be a good fit. So without further ado, I'm just going to go ahead and welcome Patrick Nicoletis from Microsoft on the App Server team. Is that correct, Patrick?
Yep, that's correct. As close as you can be.
Awesome. Great.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate the invite and really happy to be here.
So, Patrick, this is the first time you've been on the show, and you know we've talked to a couple of folks about App Center before, but we want to really dive deep today. Would you mind giving folks a little bit of background on what you do at Microsoft with the App Center team and so forth?
Sure. So I joined Microsoft last April, actually. They were about 8 to 9 months into building App Center. It was currently in preview, called Mobile Center at the time. And I actually signed on as the lead engineer for the team focused on distribution, as well as some of the JavaScript tooling, such as CodePush and the VS Code extensions for React Native and Cordova. And so I spent pretty much all last year working on just distribution. So anybody that's stuck with App Center for a while has seen a lot of new features introduced in that period. Mm-hmm. And I recently switched roles to the program management side of things so I could really get the message out there about all the great things we're doing on App Center, as well as really understand what users are trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish, so we can help engineering hone their focus on the areas that need improvement the most, as well as the ones that will address the most immediate concerns for our customers.
Excellent. So real quick, I just want to address the elephant in the room that always happens anytime an open source kind of community such as Android talks to a company like Microsoft. In regards to Microsoft and with App Center, where does CI and CD kind of fit into this? And as someone who is a non-Microsoft developer, I don't write C Sharp, I don't write any Windows programs anymore. I'm 100% Android, as all of our listeners are. Where does App Center fit into this, and why should maybe non-Microsoft developers care to use it?
Sure. Yeah, so the thing that really drove App Center into existence was the fact that we took a look at the landscape at Microsoft, and we have just an insane amount of products and offerings for our customers. And so some of those key offerings centered around mobile development really told pieces of the story. But we were looking to kind of tell the big picture, or really define what the big picture looks like. And so we looked at popular solutions like Hockey App, which is used by just a huge amount of mobile development companies and divisions to perform, you know, continuous delivery and distribution of their mobile apps, as well as leverage some key areas such as, you know, crash support. Mm-hmm. You can really dive into those crash and analytics and data. And then we looked at other products such as, you know, we had Xamarin Test Cloud, Xamarin Insights. You know, there was CodePush, which was this little guy off in the corner that is immensely popular and gets lots of love. And we had services like Azure Mobile Engagement and Azure App Services. And they kind of each tell a slice of, you know, what's really going on in a developer's pipeline. And so we wanted to make sure that rather than try to support all these different offerings, we're able to take the components that really matter, put a great wrapper around that so it's really easy to use, and is really for servicing a not so standard Microsoft audience that you were kind of hinting towards. And so we go in with, you know, the mindset that we really want to fully support, you know, Android developers and the types of solutions they're trying to build, regardless of what platform they want to use, which is why we've, you know, started to add more focus on React Native support, Android Java. We're starting to do some things in the NDK area, and really just build up that complete image of what a CI/CD pipeline would look like for a mobile application developer.
That makes sense. So coming back to the basics, right, with respect to App Center, so if I look at App Center, is App Center a purely CI/CD solution, or does it also, like, because I did notice there's also like analytics, and like you mentioned, right, there's like some of these other things like crash metrics.
Yeah.
So what is App Center's focus? Like, is did it start off as like a CI/CD service and like that is the primary focus, or is it sort of like a developer platform kind of thing?
We look at it as a developer platform. And so, mm-hmm. you know, depending on your use case, because everyone's has a different CI/CD process with different requirements.
Yeah.
If you just use App Center for one service, such as, you know, build or distribution, or even our crash components and analytics, that actually satisfies the use case we're trying to fulfill. In terms of, is it more than a CI/CD system? Yes. We have the ability to not just perform continuous delivery, but gather crash and analytics information off of that, as well as, you know, you can integrate push, send out push announcement to certain audience is defined from the analytics data, and so on and so forth. And so we look at it more as a war chest for a mobile developer. Outside of the different services we provide, we're also really focused on expanding our API and making that as easy to use as possible. So even if you want to do something new and fresh, you know, hopefully you can leverage App Center to accomplish that goal in a slightly easier manner.
Just to kind of even rewind down to the basics, if maybe, like, I'm just using a perfect example here. I'm an Android developer. I have an existing application. We use Fabric, or we use Firebase crash reporting or whatever. But for some reason, we just want to use the continuous integration component of App Center. And maybe that's all we want to use right now. That's completely okay, right?
100%. I mean, it's the two most used functions in App Center are the build and distribution, because everybody wants to get it set up. Everybody wants to get releases out the door. But, you know, maybe there's a telemetry solution they have in place that they, yeah. you know, they find is extremely valuable. I know you guys have probably set up telemetry backends and analytics backends for mobile apps, and it's not a small investment.
Oh my god, no, yeah, that's
beast. So
you hit it like, you know, right on the spot. Essentially, we have like this intricate system that's already set up for like a lot of these things, right, with crashes and analytics. So right now, the biggest need that I have is the whole build, test, and distribute sort of pipeline of the CD service. And so if I can use that, that itself is like, you know, a blessing. We can choose if folks feel like, well, actually, I'm just going to see how the crashes analytics sort of services work, and then I can, like, you know, maybe try out these other solutions. So that's like completely fine, because you can like run these things independently, right?
Correct. And I mean, it actually is pushed, that line of thinking is pushed all the way down into our SDKs, which are built with the modular approach. So you don't even have to install one monolithic SDK. You know, if you want to just use analytics, install the analytics module. If you want to use crash distribution, you have those choices and those options available to you as an end user.
You read my mind. That's exactly where I was like, that was the next question that I was going to ask. So I want to tell you something. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I haven't gotten time to like sit down and like drill into the basics. But on my way back home, I thought to myself, like, you know, I'm going to be talking to Patrick. Let me see what's up with App Center. I literally pulled out my phone. I connected to our VPN and I got like some of our credentials set up. And I tried to set up App Center like on my phone using like the process. That's like a good yardstick. I was like, let's see how intuitive this thing is. And I was happy to report. I basically got, I mean, I obviously there's like some final like intricacies with the way we have our build set up that I'll need to like get to a console and massage. But I was pretty happy because a lot of these things are kind of intuitive. So based on that, we have a couple of questions that we wanted to ask you specifically with how the whole like CI setup works with App Center. So do you think we can like kick it off with some of these questions?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'm ready to go.
To begin with, and like these are some of the questions that I didn't necessarily see like from using my mobile phone, right? Does App Center offer any sort of artifact repository?
So this is something that's come up a few times internally. We actually use something for our own solutions. And part of, you know, building App Center is evaluating, you know, why do we do things that we don't enable developers to actually support? Mm-hmm. And so today we don't presently support Artifactory. What we do find is that customers are able to still integrate those types of things into our build process. We did add some basic capabilities, and there's actually more capabilities built into the build system than most users actually realize. And so if you want to use things like Artifactory, you would today have to create that implementation yourself. But depending on your requirements and restrictions of your network and your corporate restrictions in general, you might have some issues that aren't going to be answered with App Center. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those situations where we really promote VSTS as the build portion for those kinds of scenarios where you want more granularity and you want to tie into more resources. But right now, we're still evaluating those options. And so if something comes up and there's a big need for it, and we start hearing that need, you know, we absolutely would want to address that to make things as easy as possible.
Okay. Now, if I still had wanted to connect to an external Artifactory, I'm going to 100% assume that that's completely okay, because maybe that's, I mean, that's basically what we're doing. We're connecting to, you know, JSON and all these other places. So that's still good to go. Now, in regards to how App Center works underneath the hood, is this kind of just one big, you know, bunch of servers kind of running in the cloud, or is this containerized, or how is this all implemented in the back end?
So we actually build your mobile application on Mac machines.
I know.
Hey there.
It's revolutionary. It's revolutionary, especially for Microsoft. And so one of the big initiatives that came out of building App Center is the ability to support building mobile apps. And we're one of the few groups that roams around on MacBooks, because we're all focused on mobile development for the most part.
Got it.
And so the way that it actually operates is we ended up building a brand new cloud of machines specifically for building App Center releases. And what came out of that as a byproduct was actually a new VSTS hosted pool with machines that are really configured with templates designed to build mobile applications. And so behind the scenes, we have these big farms of servers. When you issue a build, it goes into a VM, it builds everything, and then it gets trashed at the very end of it. And the only things to come out of a build are the artifacts themselves. And so you'll typically get a release, you might get symbols sent off to the crash service, or you know, things to help you deobfuscate ProGuard, things like that. And so, yes, they're in containers, but not, you know, the type of containers that you think of when you think of Docker.
For okay.
Example. Got it. Okay.
This is totally not the answer I expected when I heard Max come up.
Most people don't, and it's very unusual for us, but we realized very quickly, you know, that we weren't going to be able to get by with a typical solution. So we ended up building something very powerful and really interesting for us as an organization. And we're super proud of it because it was brand new, came out of that initiative, and it's been just tremendously successful for us.
Very cool. But the question I have is, when you walk in the corridors of Microsoft, do you get an evil eye because you sort of
right?
carry a MacBook?
No, you would be surprised. I mean, I've been using Microsoft software for about 22, 23 years now. And I would have never expected to have ended up at Microsoft. partially because the tools in .NET were great. I loved to build things rapidly. But, you know, they were still this large behemoth, and I wanted to operate quickly and with lots of agility and be able to just, you know, change things on a whim, which you don't get in a big corporate world, of course. And Microsoft nowadays is a very interesting place to work. You know, we're the single largest open source contributor on GitHub, which is amazing.
It's crazy.
There's a lot of software in App Center that we've actually open sourced, specifically in distribution. We're open sourcing things all the time. For example, if you're curious about when you distribute a release through App Center and it's an APK, we actually have as an NPM package the routines and libraries we wrote to open up your software and look at it. So if you're ever curious what we're analyzing and what we're actually pulling out of your releases, you can actually see it if you care.
Oh, that's awesome. Fantastic. Yeah.
And, you know, there's also other things we've explored opening up, such as, you know, how we sort Sembers, which you would think is a very simple problem, but it doesn't really work out that way. You know, and so being able to support that across multiple platforms in a way that can be optimized and efficient was actually a small challenge for us. And so we're looking to open that up as well. So as we make steps to improve App Center and, you know, we burn engineering time and energy solving these problems, it's been a big drive for us in the App Center team to return that to the community. And it's only going to grow, or I should say accelerate velocity faster and faster in the coming years. And so we don't get evilized. People really love what we're doing. People love the design of App Center. It's very not like Microsoft in a lot of
ways.
It
is very nice. I will say, like, as I was using it on my phone, I was like, oh, that, I mean, it was intuitive and it was very pleasant to use, which is,
yeah. And honestly, that comment is what we're going for. We strive every day in our design meetings, you know, whether or not an experience is delightful. And we want you to feel happy to use App Center. It creates kind of a disconnect sometimes with some users because they're expecting App Center to be this big monstrosity that just has 5 million features, you know, like most Microsoft products do. and that's really not our goal. We want you to come in, operate cleanly and quickly, and return to your day, you know, return that time to yourself and spend it really focused on feature development and not the rest of it.
Patrick, one quick question for you. And it's just kind of hanging there for me is you said that they build on Macs and you said something about VMs and the VMs are trashed. So what I'm wondering is can anybody else get to my builds at all? Because we're running on all these different machines. How are my builds secured to make sure no one else can get to my artifacts?
Yeah. So when you actually finish a build, we upload that artifact into a secure blob storage account, and we literally trash every asset. Privacy is, you know, coming to Microsoft is one of those things that I was just totally surprised to see how serious we take customer data. You know, being there for a little while, I would only want to store my files in OneDrive. Let's put it that way, because we're very, very rigid in terms of, you know, how we handle data that our users actually upload to us. And it's only gotten crazier since the new GDPR requirements. And mm-hmm. so, you can rest assured that any data that you put into App Center, you're going to have access to export it, and you're going to know exactly what's in there still and what's available, because we're going to make it available. But you know, those whole machines get trashed, the drives get trashed, and so you shouldn't really worry about your builds being exposed during the build process. When you distribute it, it does get uploaded to a CDN.
Okay, cool.
And so if you do know the links, you know, which are very long and obfuscated, and you magically pick the right one, you can grab a release, but you won't be able to do it in a predictable manner.
Gotcha. Okay.
I had two follow-up questions. So one, you did mention something about parts of these things were open source, right? Is this open source in like a Microsoft GitHub account?
Yeah, so we have you know, the Microsoft org, which has a ton of projects. We also open source different things under our personal accounts. Just last night, I was working on adding PR checks for GitHub into App Center.
Oh, nice.
And I released that open source as an Azure function to show you how you can, you know, really quickly and easily add PR checks. So it'll automatically create and run builds in App Center when you open PRs and return the status over there as well.
Oh, wow.
And so
that's game changer right there.
So things like that, we open source under our personal accounts, typically because we're just trying to share it. And then if there's traction, we'll roll that up into more of a standard Microsoft offering. But, you know, we don't want to hold up and keep people waiting. We want to turn over ideas and options and solutions so you don't have to figure them out on your own.
Thank you for doing that. Appreciate
it. Yeah, I love that approach. That
100%. Yeah. It's by far the best part of my job.
So I had another last question with respect to, you know, the whole security thing, right? So one thing that my company does is, obviously, for many reasons, we have to store a lot of our credentials in secure servers, like in my office, right? And this is behind a VPN. Mm-hmm. Does App Center allow me to sort of like connect to that VPN in a secure manner? Is that something that's possible?
So targeting things that are more on-prem is not a current offering for us. Right now, we do support the big cloud providers. And, you know, you just going through the build setup flow that you went through, there's no way we could create that kind of experience if it involved on-prem solutions as well.
That's fair.
And so we've targeted delivering optimal solutions to the community that utilizes GitHub and VSTS and Bitbucket. Right now, but the end game is to support your repositories no matter where they're at. And so we get a lot of requests for GitLab on-prem, for example. We used GitHub Enterprise for a while, and you know, we couldn't use that with App Center. And so there's a need internally, and very much so externally, to support that. And it's one of those scenarios where we're hoping to target this year and really flesh out how do we actually take what's on-prem, take the best of what you value behind closed doors, and tie it to App Center so we can, you know, utilize it in a secure manner.
And I was going through the docs, and this is the part that I thought was extremely cool, right? In the documentations, you say there's a REST API for App Center, which means can I do the stuff that I usually would do by clicking the buttons here via an API?
So we have an API-first mentality.
That's amazing.
What that really means.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's awesome. So we have over 200 public APIs. You went through that whole build process.
Right.
And our whole website, like I would say 99% minus things that have to do with billing, mm-hmm. are built on our public APIs.
That's amazing. And the reason I brought that up was because even if I did... If you don't necessarily connect to the VPN, I could make a REST API call through a secure way to the, like, you know, I could run like a cron job or something on my end, you know, at least in like the interim, and I could potentially make those REST API calls to App Center and like do what I would otherwise have to do. Because my whole idea is to automate this, right? Like, I don't want to sit there doing this ourselves, but if we had like a cron job or a trigger, then I can see like, you know, some possibility of this being automated, right?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, with the API, the thing that people who use App Center don't really realize, and we're focusing on really, you know, increasing the sample size, which is why I do things like the PR checks in GitHub, is because there is a lot of power to our API. So we don't have every feature and use case solved in App Center today, but I would be hard pressed to find a scenario that could not be done with you know, an amount of work less than most other CI systems. And so you can plug those gaps as they come up. It's just a matter of identifying the right APIs and putting them to work.
I'll put a link into the show notes to those REST API docs because I think listeners would really appreciate this. I think this, yeah, this really, you know, this is like a big brownie point there. So
yeah, yeah. And if you actually go into the docs, you'll notice you can authenticate and put a token in or log in. And then you can call every web service or REST API inside of our API documentation itself. So you can look at the return values.
Oh, fantastic.
You can try different parameters. So if you don't even want to go as far as figuring out, you know, how to write the code, you can play with the APIs and figure out what's right and what's doing the things you expect.
That's exactly what I want. I'm like, laziness is my motto here.
Exactly, exactly.
So I basically went through this process, right, of like building the Android project. But I'm sure like Don, I don't think you haven't gotten a chance to like set an Android project up, right? So Patrick, could you like walk us through like what the basic process is? It's like super simple, but you know, I think it would be better coming from you.
Sure, sure. Yeah, so all you need to do is create an App Center account. We do allow you to run builds for free up to essentially 4 hours a month, one concurrent build. And once you log in for the first time, you can select the build service, which is going to be on the menu on the left. If you create any app, you're going to see all these services line up for that app. And if you dive into the builds, the first thing we do is try to get you to connect a repository because, you know, a CI system without a repo is basically just sitting there.
So what kind of VCSs do you support when we're in that step?
Sure. Yeah, we focused on GitHub because obviously, you know, that's the biggest player in the game in terms of open source repositories and one of the biggest providers and hosts for other companies as well. There's Bitbucket, which is super popular, you know, from the Atlassian family. Love their tools and it's a great solution. So we wanted to make sure to tie into that too. And then there's the VSTS implementation, you know, VSTS being part of the family. We obviously wanted to integrate it into there too. So that way we can grab anybody using a VSTS account, fetch the repositories and make it available. One of the nice things that we do is when you select your provider, we actually pick up a lot of information automatically. And we just present you with the search box. And you can immediately see your whole list of repositories that you have access to link, as well as you can search for those of us that have a whole lot of repositories under their account.
Yeah.
The search is immensely powerful,
totally.
Immensely useful. Once you select your repo, the thing that really differentiates us from a standard CI service is we don't ask you to build tasks or steps or define a workflow that makes sense for you. We want to build a mobile application as quickly as possible, right? And so we look at the repository, identify, you know, what it's built with, whether it's, you know, Android, Java, whether there's Kotlin in there, whether it's React Native or Xamarin, whatever it might be. And we analyze the repository in near real time. It usually only takes a few seconds. And we present you with options that are automatically selected with the settings that we feel are right for your project. And so we'll pick
That's
up
awesome.
Different release configurations. We'll pick up whether or not you have a post-clone or pre-build or post-build script in there that should run.
I noticed that, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the most popular things that we added in was a lot of people wanted to do fancy things, which is, you know, naturally expected. And so we added in a few options so you can drop in a shell script with a predefined name. You know, they're literally App Center Post Clone, App Center Pre-Builds. Mm-hmm. And if we detect that file, we show you it in the UI to let you know that, hey, we registered this as a script that needs to be run. And during the build process, we'll run it at the appropriate
This is
time.
Basically nice. What I meant by it being like a beautiful sort of experience because I was like literally on my phone and there's like this nice check mark that shows. And I think you support three kinds of scripts, right? Like the pre-build, the post-build,
Correct.
And there's one more that I'm forgetting.
It's the post-clone. Which is right after the repo hits the build machine. I want to do some prep work before it even gets to the pre-build portion.
Out of curiosity, what is like App Center the website built on? Is it .NET?
Ah, yes. We love React. We are a React.js shop.
Very cool.
And you would be surprised how the backend is built. I mean, there's obviously some .NET in there. But there's a huge amount of Node. There's a good amount of Ruby. There's
Really? Okay.
You know, we have some Java.
It's a different Microsoft.
We got a whole family of languages powering App Center today, and we personally, we love all the options. I mean, one of the reasons that I came to this group was because of the fact that I wouldn't be stuck just doing one thing. You know, I wanted to grow my Node skills. I wanted to play with React.js and React Native all day. I wanted to dive into Java, you know, utilize these things that I've kind of focused on one at a time and do it all together. So it's a melting pot of technologies and constant war in engineering, deciding what's the right language and approach to problems that we want to solve.
I mean, I love it. I was using it and I was like, this feels very fluid. It feels very modern, which is exactly what we aim for.
Yep. It is one big spa React.js application, basically.
So after you get we have the shell scripts, I'm just kind of bringing it back here. We get the shell scripts, it picks those up. What's the next step that happens after that? Like, how do we, I'm still trying to get my build going as fast as possible. What happens mm-hmm. right after that part?
So we pride ourselves on the 5-minute CI setup and CD setup, basically.
Boom.
So you have the options to do a few things. You can turn on a launch test, which means after my app is built, I want to run it on a real device to make sure it starts okay. I can select a distribution group for it to be sent to. If you've just created an app, we automatically create a group called collaborators.
You skipped something real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you said something so important that I think we should touch on it again. I think you said something about a launch test. Can you elaborate what that is?
Yeah.
So,
oh my God, yeah.
So
this is very important.
Build is very exciting to us in general. So I from the end to end, I'm super... I have super positive experiences with all the options in there. And launch tests, you know, like you're saying, is extremely valuable. So what that is we have a test service inside of App Center, which allows you to run releases on real devices. We have close to 3,000 devices in our device cloud.
Wow.
Nice. All different shapes, sizes, versions. I think we go back all the way to Android 2.0 still, but we're thinking about dropping that at some point. And so you can pick and choose a wide array of devices that represents what users are actually using. And so what the launch test does is it lets you, after a build, it takes your APK, will upload it to a device, and will actually just make sure it opens up.
That's
and
huge.
So, you know, most problems that occur in a bad build, you know, there's obviously the crashes that occur while you're using it, mm-hmm. but, you know, we find it actually mitigates a lot of issues users have when they introduce a bug, which literally causes their app to stop opening up, you know, which means nobody else can do their job, and testers definitely should not receive that APK.
Yeah, it compiles just fine. Everything looks good on it's a green build, but then as soon as you try to install it, you realize, oops, this file is missing. Some initialization data is gone, whatever else. And that little launch test can catch so many of those things.
Exactly. And that's just the start of it. I mean, right now we have the ability to run a launch test. We're already looking at deeper integrations into tests. So you can do more advanced things like, you know, really define what types of devices it's going to be run on during that test. And you can actually kick off automated UI tests as well. Just out of the box with a couple clicks. Right now, if you want to run the full UI, you know, test end-to-end testing that you put into your application, it does require, you know, an extra step. Typically, people put it into their post-build step to actually upload it and run it. And we make that pretty easy because we actually include our App Center CLI on the build machines. Mm-hmm. And so whatever command you use to run your test locally is the same command you use to run it when it's in the build system.
Fantastic. So again, I'm sorry for interrupting you. I just thought it was really important. So you said, all right, we've already got those postscripts. Then after that, we get to choose what happens afterwards, such as the launch test. What else did you have in that list there?
So, you know, some of the other things were distribution is obviously the second piece that, you know, really completes the build story. And so, you know, the collaborators is a group that we create by default, which represents your developers in App Center for that specific app. Mm-hmm. Or you can, you know, if you've gone into the distribution area of the product, create a distribution group and send it to some testers that, you know, might not be, you know, fully in line with the development experience, but they just want to use it as a real world user.
As a team, if you had like a QA team or something, this would be like a great place to add the folks, right? Like a group here. So they would be sent like this first version. Is that like a right way of thinking about it?
Yeah, 100%. We find, you know, users end up with an alpha test group, a beta test group. And then, of course, if it makes it through beta, we're going to ship it up to the store afterwards.
Got it. Stepping back just a little with the test runs, I do also want to like point out, I think if we... obviously, like we know this because we've talked to some of the folks. Espresso tests, which is really important in terms of UI tests, is something that we have running, right?
Yep.
I notice I'm opening up my page, and in the test runs, essentially it says like start testing your app. However, like this is a sort of independent thing. I imagine this is being charged independently from like the actual App Center service, right?
No, it's baked into our pricing model. App Center is magically mostly free. And the only two services that there's any type of, you know, consumption attached to is build and test, partially because they're using real world resources and they're reserving them for a specific use case.
Got it. Got it.
And so you do have the ability to use test. You do have the ability to use build out of the box. But if you want to do what some of our customers do, which is 17 hours a day, they're running it on, you know, 20 different devices, things like that, you'll end up incurring the cost for eventually.
Okay.
Got it. So like, and I imagine like the build is because of the build concurrency. So if I want to like step up my concurrency, then like I can probably like pay a little more to get that concurrency limit up. And with
definitely.
And with testing is like, if I want to like run it across like a multitude of devices, then obviously the pricing component comes in there.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, we basically have, you know, a concurrency charge on both. And then you're obviously restricted to a certain number of hours or minutes or whatever it is.
I can run tests on an emulator as well if I wanted to, or right now is it only on like real devices?
So it's funny you bring that up, because that's actually one of the things that I've been pushing for. Going back to exposing new use cases that App Center doesn't currently support, it was about, maybe it's been a month ago now, I wanted to see if I could run detox tests on an Android app and an iOS app inside of App Center. And for those not familiar, detox is a end-to-end UI testing framework for React Native projects. It's very cool, allows you to write very simple end-to-end UI tests that, you know, are really, the flakiness is reduced so you can feel more confident in their runs. And the way that I was able to accomplish that is I actually put it into a post-clone step. So what ends up happening is, you know, the build service clones the repo. I end up building a special build to run in the simulators. I install all the dependencies for detox. I make sure the simulators are there. And then I run the project. And it actually, you see it in the build beacon, go through the UI testing. And if that succeeds, it proceeds with the build and actually will distribute that. And so we don't have native support for simulators. But I'm getting a new API hopefully added on in the future that will allow you to inject test results from other frameworks into our test service. So whether you're using the dedicated devices or you're running in a simulator, you can still see those results. But currently it's not something that we support just out of the box. You could use my post-clone scripts if you want to use detox, for example. Nice. Or you can write your own. And if there's any simulators you want to run and any type of test frameworks you want to run, I'm more than happy to hear them and see if we can come up with a solution today.
Cool. Now, you earlier, when we were beginning this conversation, you had said something that you had open sourced something regarding pull requests. So the question that I have here is kind of around, when I'm setting up this build, I imagine I have to, and I'm using Git as my my VCS, of course, I have to select what branch I want it to kind of watch for pushes or whatever at that point in time. And then, is that correct? Or will it watch all branches? Or what's that scenario entail?
So the way it currently works is you have to go in and configure the branches you want to build whenever a merge or commit happens. If you want to do it manually, that is an option. A lot of people set up continuous build. So literally on every commit, it will just rebuild itself. In terms of doing things like attaching those configurations to new branches that are created automatically, and things along those lines, the solution that I just released last night will accomplish that for the most part. So as you create new branches in GitHub, it figures that out and runs them. And it actually takes the master branch config, removes right now signing options and distribution options. So all it's trying to do is generate a clean build. But it's based on your master build configuration. So if you were to log into our VSTS system where we do all of our CI for all of App Center, we always end up with this second build configuration, which represents PRs. And so one of the things that, you know, I found kind of nice in a simple Azure Functions solution is that I can just say, hey, this branch has a good build configuration I want to use, just adjust it so it gives me what I want to know, which is, does this pass all the checks and does it build cleanly, essentially?
So this, I just want to make sure I'm wrapping my head around this, because I do this at one of my clients. They have their CI set up in a very similar way, meaning that we have the master branches, which the main line of development. And then each time as a developer myself, I'm working on a feature, I'm done with the feature, I push that feature to the remote repository, to our, you know, our Git server. At that point in time, the continuous integration realizes, hey, there's a new branch or whatever, or a new pull request that's been popped up, excuse me, a new pull request. I'm just going to go ahead and automatically build that. That seems like it's super useful. Is that, that's exactly what your code does, right, that you pushed up there?
Correct. And so I really love Azure Functions. You know, they're just like some of the other offerings out there, which allow you to essentially build an HTTP endpoint with, you know, very minimalistic code.
Okay.
And so I was able to write a quick GitHub webhook handler.
All right.
So you just go into GitHub, you basically set it up as your webhook URL. It sends all events for when a PR is opened or synchronized, which means that, you know, some code was changed attached to the PR. And from that, I'm able to go into App Center through App Center's API and make all those adjustments to build automatically. And I added in a post-build step that checks to see if the build succeeded. And if it did, it reports back a successful status for the PR check. If it fails for any reason, I report back a failure, as well as the link to the log in App Center. So if I'm in GitHub, I can just click view details and it'll bring up the log information I expect.
I had one quick follow-up, just because for folks who are not aware of Azure Functions, right, as I'm not, what is the function written in? Is it like C#?
Sure.
Is it JavaScript? And then also, this like gets me really excited, right? So how do I apply this on App Center? Is this something I upload it? Is this like, do I go to like an API? Like how I want to start doing crazy things now. So how do I use this Azure function on my App Center build?
I have, I spent a lot of time writing C#, so I have a special affinity for writing JavaScript, or getting the opportunity to write JavaScript anytime I can.
Oh, nice.
So I opted for using the Node option. You can use C# or you can write a JavaScript project for the most part. And the awesome thing about being able to share solutions in this manner is inside of the Azure portal, to get it set up, you as an end user, let's say you want to give the function a try and test it out, all you need to do is fork my repository on GitHub. You go into Azure, you basically say, hey, I want to create a new Azure function. You give it a name and it'll create a container for a set of Azure functions. There is a extremely powerful and great to have option in there to set up continuous deployments for an Azure function. So all you do is when you create it in Azure, you basically say, hey, I want to go pull the source code from this repository and keep it in sync, and I want this repository to be my function instead. And so what it does is it actually talks to the GitHub fork, grabs the latest changes, starts them up, and gives you a URL to put into GitHub to use for the webhook, essentially.
Got it. So the way it communicates in the end with the App Center thing is the webhook. So the webhook basically is my bridge between the Azure function and the App Center build.
Correct. So as you open up PRs in GitHub, the Azure function is listening to these changes and it's checking App Center to make sure that, hey, we're building these things and that there's a build configuration running or that it just exists in the first place. And then it leaves it up to the build to report back to GitHub what actually ended up being the final result. And so Azure Functions is really the bridge into App Center. but App Center will report it back directly.
That's crazy. So, I mean, like, so the Azure Functions thing is like this independent beast of its own, right? Like, I think it's a completely different thing. It's not necessarily to do with App Center, but like, there's like an independent set of use cases that are like really cool that we could do with like Azure Functions.
Correct. And I find, you know, the one of the things that we've been really trying to convey to customers is that, you know, you aren't limited by App Center today. And so that is one example of an approach we took to really unblock those users that want to run PR checks against their branches. Another example that really shows kind of the power behind that is there's another Azure function that I open sourced as well for analyzing releases, looking at their crash information, looking at the number of sessions, how long people used it, how many times it was used, things along those lines to validate that, A, you know, as the software has gone through testers, no crashes have crept up, and B, that the amount of time that testers spent in a release using it is enough to satisfy the requirement of an actual release to the store. And so the Azure function takes care of looking at a release as it travels through the pipeline and then makes the determination, yes, this is good enough, move it to the next group or move it all the way to the store.
Interesting. So on the topic of integrations that you can, I mean, you can basically create all types of integrations with Azure functions from what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. Are there any other built-in integrations that I might be able to use right out of the box? Such are very common ones like, I want to get notified in Slack if my build fails, or I want to attach some comment to Jira when my build succeeds or fails, email notifications, anything like that?
So right now, in terms of notifications, we obviously have some standard notifications in there, such as, you know, when a release is performed, when you're added to orgs and things change, you get notifications right now. We do have webhooks in there for when releases are generated.
Okay.
And so if your build system runs and it spits out a build and it gets to somebody, a webhook will fire for that event, as well as if a crash occurs, you know, to a certain threshold, it will send that out too.
Okay.
And so in terms of the integration, we actually do have projects internally, and one of the other members of the team who actually heads up design, David Siegel, has a example out there of how to send a Slack notification from the build process. And so you can, with, you know, I think he did it in like 20 lines of shellcode, essentially, prepare a payload and send it to Slack, so that it actually appears in whatever channel you want it to. And that was really the initial approach we went with. Webhooks are nice. The build scripts are nice because it opens up all of those possibilities. Are we done? You know, not by any stretch. We have a lot of new notifications to include to make it easy. We need more webhook payloads that we can send out to really kind of advance the different cases that people want to adopt as quickly as possible. But right now, you can at least grab one of those samples and put something together with very, very minimal time.
So we've talked a little bit about just general integration, how App Center will just automatically pick up, you know, it detects if I'm using a Gradle build. We already know that we can run custom tasks that maybe have already been defined in our Gradle project and so forth. Now, as we also know, Android is an open system and there are large companies that are kind of using other build tools out there. Does App Center support these? And namely, the ones that are in question here are things like the Buck build system and Bazel and so forth. Do you guys support those out of the box?
So the way that we actually work around that is we have, for certain build systems like VSTS, we have actual VSTS tasks. So it's a step you can just add in and make it easy. For other build systems, what users end up using is our App Center CLI, which allows you to quickly package up all the bits that we care about and upload them into App Center for distribution. And so you can, for the most part, accomplish most scenarios when it comes to getting a build out from another build system with one line of shell script.
Okay.
And that's really just running an App Center CLI command, which covers a huge amount of our API and makes a whole lot of things a lot easier than if you were to try to just use the API directly.
So that's a good question. Like if I have, if I'm using one of these custom build systems, or hey, I've written my own because I have a fun weekend to do that on, and I need to install something on this actual machine before I can kind of kick off my build, would that be in the post-clone step that I can do that? And can I install software onto that like VM?
So going back to one of my earlier comments, which is, you know, users don't really realize how powerful the build machines are. You can install whatever you want for the most part without any kind of limitations because it's a temporary environment. Install what you want. We're going to throw it away anyways. And so we're constantly evaluating what are the right tools to have on the build machines and what are the things that, you know, don't take that long to load so users can live without actually being there always. And so you can install simulators, you can install any dependency you want. In fact, I would encourage you guys to do that so you can tell us if there are any limitations, because right now, every single one that's come up, we've been able to work through a solution for it so that, you know, users can get the tooling on the box where they need it, and it doesn't eat up too much of their time, you know, because obviously build minutes or something you're going to be worried about in a trial for the most part.
You guys installed SharePoint then?
Yeah.
I'm just totally trolling. Sorry.
You know, we don't have an army of people actually installing the software. So it's a,
I'm sorry.
You know, I don't blame you. I actually used to be a SharePoint expert many, many years ago. And hey, the setup was never our forte.
Exactly. That's cool to hear that you can install anything you want on there. That's fantastic. Phenomenal.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, totally with anything within reason, of course. But in terms of developer tooling and things to assist you during the build process, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's something that you can accomplish in a fairly straightforward manner.
So, I mean, I'm looking at the app-centered CLI, and like I'm looking at some of these things. And I had, obviously, like, you know, the tab for tests always catches my eye, because like in the end, that's the thing that's like the gold standard that we all aim, right? Mm-hmm. Quick follow-up questions based on my usage for like App Center. The first is, if my tests actually fail, right? So there's both unit tests and there's like the device tests, right? The UI tests.
Sure.
If they fail, are these results sort of populated in App Center itself, or like, you know, is it like a log that's dumped that I have to like download and sort of like figure out? Because this is one of the big problems with JUnit tests, right? Like the log, well, they give you like an HTML file or like whatever it is, but sometimes it's convenient to just like see those results on my on App Center directly, right? Is this something that is supported?
Sure. So in terms of running actual unit testing, you know, it's one of the reasons why I want to get that new API in there is so you can upload results themselves. So it's visible right in the portal. Right now, users typically ship unit test results up to another system if they want to look at it somewhere else.
Okay.
But you can fail a build if the unit tests fail, for example. So, you know, if that's detected, you can see it right in the build log. Our build logs, you know, though the setup is easy and straightforward, we do put a lot of granularity into the build logs themselves. So diagnosing issues during that process is usually as straightforward as simply just browsing through the log and seeing where things went wrong. For tests run on physical devices, we actually have a wealth of information available right in the portal. And so what happens is, you know, after you run your end-to-end tests, you know, if you want to use Espresso, that's fine. If you want to use Appium, we support other things like XCUI tests and Xamarin UI tests. You get some additional benefits. And what I mean by that is, if I run my tests on 50 real devices, I can not only see the steps that ran and the tests that ran, but when I click on every test, I actually get a screenshot from every device that it ran on.
Nice.
And it's probably my favorite interface in the whole entire App Center suite, if only because it's so visually appealing to see your app, you know, on older Android phones, running on tablets, running on all these different devices, and we put it in the right framing so you can actually tell what device it is.
So pretty.
And and flip through it. It's a beautiful interface. And so one of the areas that you can dive into is if you want to see what happened on a specific device, which is kind of what I feel you're getting towards, You can dive into the logs on a device, you know, what actually happened. If a test failed, you'll see the stack trace and everything right there in the logs. Very, very nice. I mean, they are true device logs, essentially. You can also see performance metrics. So you'll see some charts in terms of, you know, what memory and the CPU look like as the test was running. So you can see if there's any unexpected spikes. One of the things that we've discussed is starting to look at that data to see, you know, has there been a regression in some areas? Is there a spike that didn't necessarily exist there before? Starting to try to analyze those components so we can create a really rich and powerful automated experience. But in terms of today, you can dive into the info, you can see what went wrong, you can see where your styles are off. And it sheds a wealth of information just in its current state alone.
This is super interesting to me because this is really, as Kaushik said, one of the biggest problems of getting this data in a reliable fashion. It's quick. So it's a relief to hear that you guys have worked and put a significant amount of time to make sure this happens.
Yep.
One of the questions I do have in regards to running these integration tests is, can I choose multiple devices to run these tests on in parallel? And let me give you an example. Maybe I want to run my tests on a Pixel 2, a brand new Pixel 2 device to make sure it runs in that environment. But then on the opposite end of the spectrum, I want to find the crappiest device that you have in your farm to make sure that my app runs on that, because usually that's a pretty good litmus test. If it runs on the worst spec device that you have and all my tests pass, then most likely if I'm covering both the boundaries, I have a fairly good level of these things. Is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, while I don't necessarily recommend running a super modern app on a very old device, it is totally possible. And you know, what you actually do in the portal is you create device sets. So you'll browse through thousands of different phones to find the devices that you want to use. You can put them into a set, so you can select 10 totally different devices that represent kind of all the different levels on the spectrum, from old and outdated and slow to super high end and modern. And when you run the App Center tests on those devices, it will run them all concurrently. So you don't have to wait around for one to finish and go on the next.
Oh my god, that's so
the
nice,
thing man. That you'll notice is the testing time can increase.
Yeah.
We have people that run them. I think the largest I've seen so far is about 180 devices.
Oh my lord.
And when it runs like that, it takes a while because you're obviously waiting for certain devices to free up. And so, those ones can take a little longer to run, but running, 10 devices at the same time concurrently is not even a sweat.
That's a good question I have here for that. I heard you say something, you have to wait for a device to free up. How does Microsoft plan to handle the scale? Let's say that App Center becomes super popular. Me as a developer and my team, I want continual fast feedback cycles, and I don't want to have to wait for devices. How is Microsoft planning on handling that scenario?
Yep. I mean, so one of the key benefits of going with App Center is we have a lot of muscle. And by that, I mean we always make sure to overscale, which is not too different from most engineering groups that I've experienced. But at Microsoft, in terms of App Center test and build, we always want to make sure our capacity far exceeds real world expectations. And so if you're waiting around a long time for a device, it's not a great experience and it doesn't really fulfill our vision for the product and the platform. And so we make sure to have plenty lying around. The only reason I mention that is because 180 devices takes a little while to chug through those things. Mm-hmm. And some of them are extremely popular at certain times, some are not. There are definitely days and windows where there's less usage in the test service just because of natural work week schedules and whatnot. And so you shouldn't have to wait very long to get a device. The tests do run very fast. But if you're trying to span a massive set of devices, and there's an older device in there that people are testing with, but we don't have a lot of, because there are certain phones that we just can't have 20 of them. We'll basically prioritize you as soon as possible and get you into that queue whenever we can. So it's not unusual to wait a little bit on large, huge device sets, but it's something that hasn't impacted our users so far in a manner where you know, they feel they're not getting the responsiveness they expect.
Cool. If you guys need any more T-Mobile G1s, just let me know. I got a couple.
Yeah, I talked to, there's a member of Team Carl Krukow who actually manages the test infrastructure. And I was just talking to with him last week about like, how do we actually pull the plug on a device? You know, right. How do we know that in the future, there's not going to be that one guy who's like, I need to have this device to test on. And so it's a constant, you know, struggle and evaluation period to figure out when that time is right based on telemetry and whatnot.
I was thinking, well, if I really want to go crazy, and maybe I know like there are like other third-party services that support a different variety of sort of devices, right? I was thinking, would it be possible to like plug into that infrastructure? But I'm guessing the answer is yes. It may not have the same niceties as maybe the testing solution provided within App Center, but because the one that comes to mind is obviously Google's like Firebase Test Lab, right? And like their solution has been like you can run API sort of calls and like run it on their devices. So if I was using App Center, but just using those scripts, I could potentially maybe even like call out to like Firebase Test Lab to if it's that there's that one random weird device that only they have, that is a possibility as well, right?
100%. I mean, it's we want to, you know, always keep reinforcing with users that, you know, you don't have to use tests, you don't have to use our build distribution, whatever it might be. If you just use one piece, you know, that is what we designed it for, and we hope you really love that piece that you use. But we definitely want to allow you to continue using and following the workflow that's worked for you in other areas as well.
That's such a awesome. Nice philosophy. Thank you so much for that. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Definitely.
All right, Patrick, this was extremely useful. Thank you so much. I'm super excited. Probably after this call, I'm going to go back and try to like fill more with my App Center settings and, you know, try to get it to work. Because now my eyes have been opened. There are like some things that are like crazy cool that I think can be achieved. So thank you so much for coming on the show. This was super helpful.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, one of the things that we're running over the next month and a half is if you actually join with App Center today and mention the Fragmented Podcast and the Intercom, which is our support feature. If you log into to App Center, look in the bottom right, you'll see this little chat thing, which allows you to talk with engineers directly. We're giving away 100 free hours of build every month for a full year. So you're going to get about 96 hours more of continuous building, which is usually enough to satisfy the thirst. So if you want to try App Center, now is pretty much the best time to give it a go and tell us what you think.
They just got to go to that little chat bubble and say that they heard about you on the podcast and you guys will hook them up, or is that how it works?
Yeah. Yeah. What's going to end up happening is they're going to get forwarded to me and, you know, I'm going to tell them how great you guys were and throw them some extra build hours.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Can we also send you like a happy note or something? We can ask our listeners to send you a happy note. Will that also get forwarded to you?
Oh, yes, yes. If it goes in there, you'd be surprised where that stuff ends up. I mean, most people assume that we have like 5 different layers of support. And if you've been talking to us, you've been talking to the engineers building it. So it's a very cool experience.
Fantastic. So listeners, send a gracious, thankful note and mention the Fragmented Podcast in that chat bubble. And yeah, some goodies coming your way. Patrick, thank you so much. If folks wanted to maybe reach out to you, is there any other place that they can, like maybe if they have questions, are you on any social media platforms that we can like reach out and get some answers?
Yeah, you know, I just finally joined the Twitter world after being in the, you know, behind closed doors in the business-to-business space. So if you want to reach me on Twitter, my handle is just LBCPat, because I'm from Long Beach, California.
Oh, nice.
Patrick. Nice.
And so, yeah, I'm always posting different tips and tricks on there and cool little functions and random code I'm working on that will kind of enhance your App Center experience.
Fantastic. And Don, I know you're going to be excited as well. So if folks want to find out your experiences with App Center, what's a good place?
The best place is going to be on Twitter at Don Felker, same on Instagram. And I'll definitely be checking this out here very shortly because I need to be experimenting with a couple of options. And this is looking to be a very high contender for me. So, and Kaushik, and I already know that you've already have run this while you're on the bus. So that's actually a pretty impressive feat to test for App Center. But if folks want to learn about that adventure that you went on there, where can they reach you?
Kaushik Gopal on both Twitter and Instagram. So yeah, folks can reach out and I can give you like the bus ride version first feedback. And once I actually finish this podcast here, I'm going to, you know, sit with it a little more. And then over time, that would be a good place to get more feedback. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening. Patrick, thank you again so much for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on.
We will catch you all in the next episode.
All right, before we get out of here, I'd like to take a few moments to thank our sponsor for this episode, and that's Mapbox. If you're looking for a map and you want to put it inside of your application, you definitely need to check out Mapbox. They provide turn-by-turn driving for walking, driving, biking. They offer complete map design control. It's a tremendously huge thing. They offer you all kinds of different functionality, such as geocoding, reverse geocoding, location, you name it. Mapbox has got you covered. If you're interested, go to mapbox.com/android to get started. Again, that's mapbox.com/android.
That's it for the show, folks. Fragmented is hosted by Don Felker and me, Kaushik Gopal. We edit and produce all the episodes here on Fragmented. Sarah the Amazing Jackson from the Spec Network helps with production assistance and wraps our final mix. Our theme and ad music is by the national recording artist Blueprint from Weightless Recordings. You can find more Fragmented episodes at fragmentedpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.